Travis!
What's up?
I heard... Okay, first of all, we're going to put a quick explicit warning at the beginning. I will try to go through and bleep anything that Travis slipped through, because we're trying to have a PG-13 or PG-17 rating, so we're going to try. But I hear you had an interesting story at Walmart that I asked you to save for the start of the show, and you warned me that it would probably be pretty explicit. So, in your best attempt to be the least amount explicit as possible, tell me the story.
All right. So, I'm pretty much the full definition, the poster child for the term hangry, which is just angry when you're hungry.
Right.
And I went to Walmart this morning. So, I'm already... antisocial, and I really just dislike being around people unless I'm playing magic or doing something that I want to do.
You know what? Real quick, let's preface this with you sent me a message basically saying, have I ever told you how much I despise that people exist? Alright, continue.
Yeah. So, I'm going to go get cereal, and I go down the aisle, and there's this lady in front of me, and then this person coming from the other direction. Two lanes of traffic, like there should be in a Walmart aisle. And then they just stop and start talking. I was like, okay, Travis, just be patient with them. Just be patient, and maybe one of them will move out of the way since one of them's already looking your direction. So then they both look over at me, and they just keep talking. I was like, well, I'm done being patient. So I just start walking, and I take the one lady's cart who was in front of me, and I just push it out of the way, and I push it about...
What is wrong with you?
There. So I just push it out of the way, and she starts following me, so I push it down halfway down the aisle, right? And she's like, why would you do that? And I was like, why would you look at me and then continue talking and not get out of the way? That is completely disrespectful. So I feel I did what you just did to me. And she goes, well, you need to respect your elders. And I'm just like, well, in the entirety of your existence around me, you have been nothing but a burden to me. Why would I respect that? And she didn't talk to me anymore.
I can't believe you didn't try anything like, excuse me? Like a rude excuse me. The first thing you do is grab her cart and shove it down the line.
No, the first thing I did was I waited there patiently.
Sure, sure. Okay,
then,
I meant the first actual, confrontational moment, you grabbed her cart and shoved it down the line.
It was their fault for looking at me and being rude and continuing to be in the way. So
I don't disagree that... they were also heavily at fault for this, but I do not agree that this was a one-sided problem.
It was. It was completely not my fault.
Oh, I'm crying a little bit out of one ear, not one ear.
That's...
Well, this is not a podcast about how you're hangry.
Well, and that's why I didn't want to join the stream, because, your stream from this morning, because I was just...
I could have used a little angry. I could have used a little. And we'll get into it in a minute, but I could use a little bit of fiery inferno.
I hate going to Walmart.
Well, it eats your soul, man. I love Walmart to death. I love that they exist. I think they do a real good service. But the people that go there are just...
jackasses.
A-holes. See how I went for a clean, I said a-holes?
Yeah.
You went... jackass.
Well, I mean, I called them an animal, and you
referenced
them with
true.
So I feel mine was more clean.
But this is,
and you're
this
in the
is
wrong
not a,
now.
I probably am. This is not a podcast about how we, hurling insults or dislike Walmart or like Walmart. This is a Magic the Gathering podcast.
The reason I go there is because it's right across the street.
It does make things convenient. Welcome to Two Trolls and a Brew. Title this week is We Like Big Decks, and I cannot lie. I feel like I wish I had a an English accent for when I say that, because I think it makes it sound even better. But, you know, it's a thing. Working subtitle this week, I got 99 cards, but my commander ain't one. So there we go. Travis.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to play Magic this week?
I did.
Tell me about it.
So, you know, I'm still playing my my Landfall deck. With the
Online or?
No, at FNM.
Okay.
And I went 2-1-1. The one deck that I tied with was the Black-Green Aristocrats deck.
Mm-hmm.
That's just because I couldn't find a win condition, so it was continuously hitting me, and I just kept surviving. And then the game I
Until
lost...
Until eventually you didn't?
Oh, no, we tied.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the first game took 25 minutes for him to beat me. The second game, I killed him using his own lands because of Retreat to Hagra. So
okay.
I got the Hedonist Trove out, and I played land. And that's basically a lightning bolt every turn. So that's how I won the second game. And then the third game, we got maybe four turns in.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Oh, the deck is just kind of slow, so I'm gonna...
Maybe we need to speed it up a little bit.
Well, we could do that, or I could just sit it to the side and play something else for a little bit, because I kind of don't want to get burnt out on that. I enjoy
or we
it.
Just slow it. We just slow it down even more.
Yeah, just make it even slower. Which I think I'm gonna
like,
go.
Well, we might finish a game.
I think I'm gonna do that with one of the new cards released.
Oh, spoilerific. I drafted what I thought was a fair deck. I'm trying to picture it now in my brain sickles, but I felt like I was getting cut from each angle. I drafted like this green, white, black kind of tokeny deck.
Okay.
And I definitely was getting cut. I don't want to infer that I wasn't. It was definitely a very weird draft where basically I was all in on three different decks within the first pack, and I didn't play any of them.
That's a good way to go.
Yeah, so pack two, I just started getting all of the like weird tokeny cards. That'll draw as any tokeny cards. So just like fine, whatever. I'll just be this token deck instead. And when we got to the draft, that's what I was, and it just wreck-rolled people. I dropped one game in round two, and it basically I just got in a position where I was always a turn behind. So you got to be kind of careful about that. And then today, I sat down with MTG Goldfish's new budget deck, the Goblins List. And if you haven't seen it, I'll put a link in the show notes. But yeah, it was interesting. I immediately won the first two games, and I thought, oh, maybe this is it. Maybe this is the deck. And proceeded to lose the next three. And maybe that's not a fair representation. I did keep what I consider two risky keeps and just didn't get there. I kept a 5 land hand, I think, and ripped, I think, 3 or 4 lands, in a row off, at the beginning. So basically I died like on turn 8 with 9 lands or 10 lands either in play or in my hand. And because at the time I was thinking, okay, well, the deck runs 21 lands, and I have 5 of them in my hand, so that gives me, you know, like a 1 in 4 chance to draw a land,
right,
give or take. A little less than that, actually. So I'm like, even if the odds are bad and I draw the land to start with, then my next three draws in a row should be not lands. Well, instead, like I said, I drew three lands or four lands in a row and basically just put me in a position where I couldn't win. I did make a fight of it, though. I ended up winning that match, I think. And then I played against the Eldrazi deck twice, and I'm not real sure how to beat that deck with this deck. Like, I did win one game of four, and I ended up playing the same guy twice, and the guy was very good. Maybe against somebody who plays it less, it would be a different story. But, excuse me, I don't know, it was quite aggravating to just keep put in that position where I'm not sure how I can push through to win. And then in the sideboarding process, I'm not sure, because the first time through I went, okay, well, he can't sideboard into the control deck, where I can, right? So I guess I'll sideboard into the control option, and basically, I got in a position where he was able to stick the last threat, and I couldn't resolve it, and basically he just beat me down with the last threat. So, I don't know, I'm not sure what's going on. If you haven't looked at it, I'd like to see people look at it. I think there's a lot of interesting cards in here, and I think it could use a little bit of tweaking. But of course, the thing that really draws me to this in particular is the three impact trimmers in the sideboard. So, you know how I feel about impact trimmers, especially with all the token stuff that's floating around right now. I love the collateral damages in there. I love all the dragon fodders and the whirling outbursts. And I think this is has a lot of potential to just be amazing. And maybe once I watch Saffron play it, I didn't even get to watch the videos. I saw the deck come out at, did you?
Yeah.
I saw the deck come out at midnight. I jumped over to Card Hoarder. I bought the deck. I picked it up this morning, and I started playing it. So I didn't even watch him or anything. So maybe next week or later this week or whatever, there'll be a different story. I have the feeling that this is a very, very good list for these $10 or less that you... apparently it's jumped up to $16. Because basically that's what he does, right? When he introduces a new budget deck,
you have about maybe 4 hours to get it.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And then it's going to double or triple in value, so...
Yeah. And now, watching the videos, I did notice that every time he was on the draw, like after, the first rep, the first match or whatever, he would take out the Goblin Glory Chaser.
Really?
Yes. And he said it is just significantly worse on the draw, because on the play... you still have the ability to attack with it on turn two, but on the draw, it's their turn three before you can attack with it. So they have defense against it. So every time, or every video that I saw, he took out the Glory Chaser.
Hmm, that's an interesting idea. I would have to look. That guy did a lot of work for me, and he was the lightning rod of the games that I played.
Oh yeah, no, definitely, but.
Which
Saffron's, thought process, which I do agree with, is it's just too slow when you're not on the play.
I get it. I understand, but at the same time, like, it is easy to force through. And then there was a game that I ended up winning, but I would have won several turns earlier. I forgot he got Menace as soon as he was renowned. So there was a situation where I was constantly at the opponent couldn't attack me because I had three or four hoardling goblins, but the Glory Chaser. But I didn't attack into him because he had the Warden of the First Tree pumped up to like a 4/4 or something with lifelink. So I didn't attack in, knowing that I didn't have enough to finish him.
Right.
And he didn't attack me, knowing that I had enough guys to kill his creature, and then I basically would have taken over. So I ended up having to wait till I got a pile driver, and then I was able to use a pile driver and like a heel cutter or something to push through. Or just maybe I just got a heel cutter, I don't remember. But I got to a situation where I could just get him, and then after I won that game, I was like, oh, wait, this guy has Menace. I should have won, like, 8 turns ago.
Yep.
So, I don't know. He's... I feel it's very, very good.
As the comments, kids would say, RTFC.
The comments that I got was, like, Swiss Spear would probably be better. And that's kind of what I'm thinking, is maybe I streamline this. Take out the heavy goblin theme. Like, the pile drivers are good. They can do a lot of work. But maybe if you pull out the pile drivers, you pull out the scouts, you put in, like, Swiss Spears, and you put in, I don't know, I'm assuming there's some other really good 1 or 2 drop in red that you could put in. Maybe, like, 1 or 2 of the 2-2 with dash, and then... I'm sure there's at least one other card in there that could go in here. Maybe add a land, go up to 22 lands. I did often feel like I got stuck on 3 when I really wanted to have a 4th land to play 2 spells a turn.
Yeah.
So I don't think the deck is bad. I liked it. I had a lot of fun. And I had a brief moment where I thought I was going to be unbeatable. And then all of a sudden I wasn't. Like, it beats the slow decks. But the Eldrazi deck in particular seems unbeatable because it has a huge defensive card in my troll of the card of the week, Vile Aggregate.
Yep.
That guy, just a 1/5 for 3 mana is just ridiculous. And then the fact that you play a second guy or a third guy, he just becomes horrendous to deal with, especially that since he has Trample. Just makes it quite difficult to deal with something like that with a deck like this. So I would definitely say it's MTG Goldfish in particular, at least during the daytime, when I get to play Magic Online, is definitely setting the metagame, I feel. And I would like to figure out a way, or I'd like to see him focus on beating his own deck sometimes. This sideboard doesn't attack the Eldrazi deck at all. It makes it very easy for the Eldrazi deck to just beat you because you just don't have a plan. And I definitely think that I need to figure out a plan to deal with the Eldrazi deck because it is so prevalent on Magic Online. And mostly due to like cards like Vile Aggregate in particular. Your troll card of the week, buddy. I hit mine. What's yours?
Mine is Maze's End.
Maze's End.
Yes. And
when I first saw this, I thought you were saying Maze's It, Maze of Ith, because that's how old I am.
Right. Well, I do love that card as well.
I think that's a card in Modern. But
Maze of Ith, no.
That's what I'm saying. That's how old I am. So Maze's End is coming to play tapped land.
Yeah.
That taps that colorless to your mana pool.
Or the important part.
Or you can pay 3 and tap, return it to its owner's hand, search for a gate, put it onto the battlefield, and then shuffle your library. If you control 10 or more gates with different names, you win the game. Okay, so this is the card that lets the gate debt work.
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, I played it a lot when it was in Standard because, well, I love Turbo Fog. So I figured I'd have, you know, I just have some fun in Modern since that's what it is this week. And I don't have the Elemental deck. Like, I haven't picked out all the cards for it. So I've decided that instead of playing the, you know, Jeskai Burn deck that I was playing for Modern, that I just have some fun and see if I can't get Turbo Fog to work in Modern.
Well, I mean, I think you can. I think it's a solid solid plan, actually, because you just need, you know, a couple of things to make it work. And if you do something like Isochron Scepter, I think you could do some no-sticky type action as well.
Right.
I think you can glue this into another shell easily enough. And you put in Modern, that gives you access to all the different things that you could have with the Titan Bloom deck. Like, you can have a lot of those same cards at your disposal.
Definitely.
So, I think it's an option. Whether or not it turns out to be better than or worse than the Titan Bloom deck is where it comes down to.
Oh, it's going to be worse.
Well, I'm glad that we decided to spend time and energy working on a deck that we already know is going to be worse than the Titan Bloom deck. Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds very, very good.
Well, okay, so the reason I say it's going to be worse, it requires you to have 10 different lands in play after activating the 11th land's ability in order to win. You can't do that on turn 2.
I
was watching, you know, the Amulet.
Probably not turn 2, but the Amulet deck doesn't win on turn 2 consistently enough to consider it a turn 2 deck.
No, but I've seen it win, like, turn 2 numerous times, turn 3, turn 4, just consistently just blowing up. I don't see that happening with this Maze's End, because there's not enough get target land into play in Modern. However, you know, if I wanted to go Legacy and have the only cards in there be Crop Rotation, Counter Spells, and Isochron Scepter, then yeah, we could totally do this. Just be like, okay, well, here's an island. I'm going to sacrifice it for this Guildgate. Like, that's the only way, you know, I can consistently see it being better than...
Yeah, I don't know if that's true. I think you could build it in such a way where the Amulet deck can't get through. Because it's not like you're going to be taking damage from your mana base like they are, or they can be. Something simple as keeping the Amulet of Vigor off the table kind of makes that a thing.
I don't even care if they have it. I just need to stop the attacks. Which
true.
Is why I have Fogs. See, I was...
Isn't there, what's the goblin that whenever a land comes into play, you get shocked? Did he cost 3 or does he cost 2?
He costs 3.
That's less good then.
Zozu.
Thinking that guy,
Zozu.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking it was something, the Punisher. That he might be real good right now. We'll see. We'll have to see. We got a Modern Pro Tour coming up, what, the middle of this month?
Yeah.
Right? The 16th, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
That's the pre-release weekend, is it? It's not the same weekend as a pre-release.
No.
That's probably like the 30th.
Yeah. But, okay. So I'm looking at Zozu now. But it would also hurt me.
Well, yeah. I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not necessarily saying it's best for your deck. I'm just thinking, in general, somebody who's worried about the land deck, that might be the way to go.
I just dropped a dice.
Way to go, XLX. Well, you know, I'd like to see a list. Maybe you could put a list together and send it to me. Just kind of give me an idea what you're thinking. We'll put it up, you know, use like... MTG Goldfish, and snap a picture or whatever, and just let me look at it, and we'll put it in the show notes, and look and see, because I have a hard time visualing certain things, and if they're not in an easy-to-read list like this, it can be a problem for my brain.
Right.
But I'd like to see it, I'm curious. Okay, so Pro Tour Oath of the Gatewatch is 5th of February. So we have a month from this recording, as a matter of fact. So that'll be good. That'll mix things up quite a bit, I think. I don't know. We'll see. Our big discussion today, we have two. We have a Brew Focus on Commander decks. We not really an email so much as a couple of Facebook messages to explore this particular Commander deck. And I know I was supposed to spend the week looking at Pauper, but I didn't do it. So, hopefully soon. I got several questions actually asked from me today's stream about if I'm interested in Pauper. And I was like, yeah, I just haven't figured it out yet how I'd want to do it, but I definitely think I want to, whatever I do for Popper is going to involve the Impact Tremors. I think that's just a card that is very good in my mind that not enough people play, and I think there's probably enough at common mass token producers that it can be worth it. So I just need to look and see. Isn't spider spawning common? Do you even remember? I didn't play that set, so I don't know for sure.
It's uncommon.
It's uncommon? Yeah. Okay, well, maybe not. Maybe there's not enough good token producers at common. But I'm going to find out.
Well,
I feel like
with Krinko's Command and Dragon Fodder, there's 8.
Sure. And then you got the goblin with... that makes a goblin when he comes into play with Echo, right? That guy's a... Oh, no, I just have to look. Just have to look and see. But I think between Impact Tremors and something like a Trumpet Blast or some other mass pump spell, you could go the distance. So we'll be spending some time hopefully looking at Popper in the next couple of weeks. I just don't know if it's going to be good enough to keep up with turn 1 Delver, turn 2 Flip. But I'll find out.
Yeah, but there's enough burn to keep you off the Delver. And then
that's what I was thinking. I'm hoping.
Also, there's all these nice little kobolds that you have.
That's also true. So there's a lot of options. I'm just trying to figure out how I want to do what and see if I can make something happen in the Popper environment. But you got all ranty when we're talking about the Oath series as you've seen it. So we're actually going to delve into that first. That's going to be our starting point. And I think we should do this in best to worst order right now.
Okay.
What do you say?
That works.
So Oath of Nyssa is the best one.
Yes. That by far is the best one so far.
Clearly. Clearly the best one.
I mean, all we have left is black, but yes. So I like Oath of Nyssa because it does just cost 1, and its first ability is look at the top 3, put a creature, land, or planeswalker into your hand, and the rest off the bottom. That right there is it's a cycle.
Serum Visions, essentially, right? Basically for green, the green Serum Visions.
It's more like in my opinion, it's more like a one-turn Sylvan Library that doesn't hurt you.
I would go with that, too. And then, that's not a bad comparison.
And then the second ability of it is you can spend mana as if it were any color to cast planeswalker spells. That is a great thing for an Oath.
Right.
And especially with green.
And I think we're going to have this argument in a little bit when we get to what we consider the worst one. But I definitely think that the second ability is quite good as well.
Yeah.
So, now I have the next worst one, or the second best one, as the Oath of Gideon.
Okay, well, this one's kind of difficult because it really, with these two, it depends on what kind of deck you're playing. If you are playing a Planeswalker deck, then I agree that Oath of Gideon is better. But if you're playing a control deck that has Planeswalkers in it, Oath of Jace is better.
Okay, I see. I guess in my brain, if I'm playing these Oaths, I'm playing the Planeswalker deck.
Then Oath of Jace would be better.
Which is why I was kind of hinting around before with the Oath of Nyssa. If I'm playing these, I'm definitely playing the Planeswalker deck. Like, the ability to sit down 2 knights. So turn 1, we play Oath of Nyssa. Turn 2, we probably drop like a Hangerback Walker for that early defense, or something else that makes a couple of blockers. Maybe you play the 0-3 wall and play your land, whatever.
Right.
Whoever you're getting along. And then you drop an Oath of Gideon, and you get 2 more blockers, plus the Planeswalker you play on 4 comes into play with more. So I'm assuming that we're going to be playing like Kiora or... maybe 3 mana Nyssa, something like that.
Yeah.
On 4, Which is kind of weird that you would wait and play Nissa on turn, the 3-mana Nissa on turn 4, but to jump at a turn, I mean, you're not, with Oath on the Gideon on the battlefield, you miss an activation, but it's like it has haste,
yeah, well,
right?
I mean, you miss an activation, but instead of missing an activation, you can still, you know, do the negative 2 and still have her at 2.
Right. Exactly. That's my point. Like, it's just one of those situations where I think, especially if there's a 1-mana accelerator that maybe doesn't tap for a particular color, like maybe there's a 2-mana artifact that comes into play and taps for colorless or something out of this set, which I could see them releasing something like a Mind Stone in this set. I think it would be very good to, like, Oath of Nissa on 1, Mind Stone on 2, Gideon into 3, and then play like your 0-3 wall. I mean, yeah, you might have taken 4 or 5 points of damage from the aggressive red deck, but then you have 2 blockers, you play your wall, you gain a life, you drop Nissa, and Nissa's plus 2 ability, doesn't it put a land into play?
No, her plus 2 is put a token into play. A 0-1 token.
Okay, which is a negative.
Yeah, her.
And I feel like I have to look up the Nissa.
She comes in with 3 counters. Plus 1, put a 0-1 green plant into play. Negative 2, put a 1-1 counter on each creature you control.
There you go.
And then negative 7, gain X life, draw X cards, where X is the number of lands you control.
There you go. So yeah, I must be thinking of something else that puts a land into play. Or maybe I'm thinking about the...
you're thinking of
the non-flip. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, you're thinking
I might be a little confused.
Nissa.
Yeah, non-flip Nissa.
But even when they, like, the, you know, the flippingness or planeswalkers, even when they flip, they come back in and they get an
right,
extra counter.
They'll get the counter, right. So my point is I put the Oath of Gideon at number 2, again, because I plan on playing the planeswalker deck. But if I was not playing the Planeswalker deck and I was just playing the blue deck, I would put Oath of Jace, which is where I have him on 3. But I would put him, higher. I think of all the ones that could stand alone, I think this guy could stand alone pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, because for 3 mana...
read the card.
Yeah, for 3 mana,
there you go.
When he enters the battlefield, you draw 3, and then you discard 2. So, essentially, you just get... If your hand is already full... You just get 2 more control spells, and then you lose 2 lands, in my opinion. You know, if it's like late game or something like that. But then,
well, my point is, we've done this numerous times as an instant, or not an instant, like a sorcery or an instant or whatever, where it's like, draw 3, discard 1 if it's a certain thing, or discard 2.
Yeah.
That card's always playable.
Right.
Right? So the only difference between this and one of those cards... is you're trading the disadvantage of always having to discard 2 for the potential advantage of scrying if you have some planeswalkers out. Which, again, I think that you can just play planeswalkers. I don't... Almost every deck wants one of some sort,
right.
Usually. And I just... This seems fine to me. Like,
I mean, it's great.
Most of the time, it's a dead card.
Yeah, either way, it's card advantage because you're drawing... X amount, and then you're going to scry X, so you're just like, well, I don't need that, I don't need that, okay, yeah, I guess I'll just draw. I mean, it's just better. And we
saw how effective the Kiora, or not Kiora, the blue god, Nissa, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not Nissa.
Thassa.
Thassa. We saw how effective Thassa's one scry was each turn.
And now you're going to
so
scry
X. Well, you get one planeswalker out there, and you're doing just the same amount of work that she was.
Right.
Right? You get 2 out there, and that's a huge advantage. And if you got 3, because you're like me, and you went all in on the Oath deck and all in on the planeswalker deck, you know, you're playing like 2 of each of planeswalkers, and then like 2 of all these Oaths, except for the Oath of Nissa, and you're like, this is really great. Okay, so the one we think is the worst, and I kind of disagree, actually. This one, I like this one quite a bit. I would probably play this in a lot of decks, is the Oath of Chandra. It's colorless and a red for the Legendary Enchantment. This whole series is Legendary Enchantments. When Oath of Chandra enters the battlefield, it deals 3 damage to target creature and opponent controls. At the beginning of each end step, if a planeswalker enters the battlefield under your control this turn, it does 2 damage to each opponent. So, I like this card, actually. I like this card quite a bit. It's, I think has a lot of interaction with the flip planeswalkers in particular. And I love a bounce effect.
Right, but do we have any bounce planeswalker effects?
Well, all of the, all the flip ones, right? So you can bring them into play whenever you need to. So you get to the end of turn, you tap your Jace, you draw your cards.
Okay.
And you shock them for 2, right?
Right.
But I was thinking, doesn't the white Eldrazi exile a permanent, or is it just a creature?
It is exile another target creature.
Alright, well then that's less good. But there are flip permanents, or exile permanent bring it back effects in Modern.
Right, in Modern this would be great.
In Modern, I think this card could be quite good. I have a feeling that this card is going to be very good, period. What's the sorcery speed burn spell that does 3?
Something Hammer.
Lava Hammer?
Well, there's Lava Spike that does 3 to the target player. Lava Hammer is... Or Volcanic Hammer.
Volcanic Hammer?
Yeah.
Like, volcanic Hammers are fine. They're not always good, but often they're what you want because you just don't have a better choice. The downside is this thing cannot ever hit the player unless you play a planeswalker, but the fact that it can sit on the table, and if you can just sit there and get some planeswalkers going, again, in the planeswalker deck, right, where almost half of your deck is planeswalkers, the other half is these Oath series, like I think that you could get enough damage, enough value out of these Oaths that it's worth it. And I half expect to see some sort of crazy card, like, if you have all of the Oaths in play, you know, do something stupid, like, win the game.
Speaking of stupid things that win the game...
Hey, you picked up my segue, I can't believe you!
Oh, man, this card, I love this card, it's so bad. just...
I don't like this card at all, I don't think.
Okay, well...
And I'm usually on board with your crazy shenanigans,
everybody
but...
is entitled to a wrong opinion. This one is called Hedron Alignment. And it's a 3-drop enchantment with hexproof that says, at the beginning of your upkeep, you may reveal your hand. If you do, you win the game. If you own a card named Hedron Alignment in exile, in your hand, in your graveyard, and on the battlefield. Plus, it has this great ability of tap a colorless and blue to scry 1. There's no downside to that card.
Okay, so, as we were kind of discussing a little bit beforehand, because you were excited, you have to have 1 in play.
Yes.
You have to have 1 in your graveyard.
Huh?
You have to have 1 in exile.
Right.
And you have to have 1 on the battlefield.
Yeah.
So your all 4 of your 4-ofs are somewhere special.
Right. And that's the entire point of why this card is going to be great. Especially if you have, like, Oath of Jace and the new Nissa. So you can just, like, scry a bunch, and then you gain a ton of life every, like, 7 turns or whatever. You know, it's going to be a fun card.
So what happens when you discard 1?
Okay.
Right? You discard 1 or 2. You use your Treasure Cruise to get 1 in exile.
Right.
And then let's say you have 1 on the battlefield and the other 1 in your hand. You're ready to go, right?
Right.
You're ready to rock.
Let's go.
And they play something that makes you exile a card, and they make you exile the other Hedron Alignment.
I'll just counter it.
You're just going to counter. Okay.
Yep.
That's fine.
That's how things work in Magic Land.
What if, Well, that's where this card belongs, right? Magical Christmas Land.
And that's why I'm going to play it.
Okay, well, I mean, it's fine. You're welcome to do so. I can't wait to hear about how you managed to win one of your Friday Night Magic games.
Oh.
Not matches, games.
And then it's going to put people on tilt, and I'm going to laugh, and they're going to hate me.
Well, more.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, we've already got people swearing you off on Facebook because they already hate you.
Well, they should.
But I
don't want to
get into that. I don't want to get into that. I just wanted to make a funny joke, a funny ha-ha for the people who listen locally. They know what I'm talking about. So, speaking of local, one of our locals here, one of the local guys who listen, sent me this Kalia? Is that how you pronounce it? Kalia the Vast?
Yeah, Kalia the Vast.
As a Commander deck, and said, hey, this is what I'm interested in playing in Commander. What do you think? And I went, And I looked at it a little bit, not as much as I probably should have, but a little bit. And I have to say, this deck seems better than I originally thought.
Oh, this deck is... For dual commanders, this is one of the top decks.
Is it?
Yes.
Because there's a lot of cards that I just don't get.
Okay. Name some of the ones that you don't get.
Sinkhole. As a one-off, Sinkhole, not good enough.
Well,
I get it. There are probably some troublesome lands out there.
And more or less, but in dual commander, if you have it, you know, opening, it just sets them off. Which,
I guess,
that's just kind of what it is.
But when you look at this list in particular, this is not a dual commander list. Like, right off the top of my bat, I see a Sol Ring.
Right. I mean, and this list isn't, but in general, Kalia is, like,
okay.
She's...
I'll give it to you. I believe it can be better than I think, but, I don't know. Like I said, some of these cards just don't seem right. Like, Hymn to Turok. Hymn to Turok doesn't seem good enough in Commander.
Right.
Again, in a dual Commander situation, probably a different story. I would concede that point, but I don't know. There's both Armageddon and Cataclysm in this deck. Like, are we really trying to do land destruction that heavily? Like, is that a thing that we want to be doing? It doesn't feel like it.
With her, yes, because of all of the...
But she's a 2/2.
Right.
She dies to any lightning bolt.
Right.
So if you Armageddon, I untap, play a mountain, and kill it. Like,
right,
odds are
if you...
I'm in a better situation than you.
Right, but look at all the mana rocks that they have.
It is true. There are a few mana rocks here. Boros, a bunch of charms, or not charms, signets, Coldsteel Heart, Fellowore Stone, but that Fellowore Stone doesn't work unless your opponent has lands. Let's see. The other signets that go along with it, Sol Ring. I thought there's at least a couple more in here.
Talisman of Indulgence.
Like, I'm not even seeing the 3-mana one that makes 2-mana, Coalition Relic. Like, I would imagine that would be a card in here. I don't know, I think I would just lose the heavy theme of land destruction. Like, I do like a Johnny Vengeant, right? Like, to me, that's just a good card, and definitely belongs in this deck. But, I don't know, I just don't see spending, how much did you say for paper? According to them, they have it at $25 for a white border sinkhole.
Yeah.
I'm glad my sinkholes are black border. It looks so nasty.
I only have three and they're all white
border. Well, then now you're wrong.
I know.
But yeah, I don't know. Necropotence probably doesn't belong in this deck.
Right, but, I mean, the deck isn't focused around those spells. It's focused around... The only thing it's focused around is getting Kalia out on turn 2 or 3.
Sure. you're trying to set up to have these sweet, sweet creatures out there, and you have a couple that win the game, right, when you play them.
And you don't even have to play them. You just bring them into play.
Well, that's what I'm saying, like that. But you have a lot of these that just, they do weird things, like Tidehole Scholar. Sure, it's a fine magic card, but it's not, in my opinion, powerful enough for a commander deck. And maybe that's where I'm wrong. Maybe this is where I'm wrong. I think every card in a commander deck either needs to be a super powerful card or synergize so well with your commander it makes it worth it.
Right.
And a lot of the individual cards I just don't get. Now, ask me how to fix it.
Okay, how to fix it?
I have no idea. I just don't know.
Right. And, I mean, if they were going on a... If they were doing it for dual commander, obviously you take out Sol Ring.
Well, you have to pull out the stuff that's banned in dual commander to start.
Right,
with,
obviously.
Right? And then from there, I'm not so sure.
Put in a few more big creatures.
Like, I like the Yosei combo with the Kalia and the different sacrifice effects. Like, I could see doing more of those kind of things. Like, I guess he running, maybe not the red dragon, which I can't remember what his name is from Kamigawa. I think it is like 5 damage to a creature or
yeah.
a player.
Again.
When he dies.
Again, magic screwing over the red dragons.
Yeah, I mean, he was okay. I think he cost a single red and a little bit less, right? Like, he was easier to play. But, like, I could definitely see the black, Kaiga? No, not Kaiga. The Falling Star.
Yeah.
I think it's Kaiga. But that sounds like the blue one when I say that out loud. Anyway, like, I could see running that in there. I could see running... Just, do they have the new angel that, like, blows a thing up when they play? I guess it's not new. New for me. The angel that comes into play and blows up a permanent when it leaves play, it blows up a permanent. That's an angel, isn't it? It's like black-white.
The white-white, black-black thing?
Yeah.
I
know there's two. There's like an Outrider, and then there's like Destruction Angel or something.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe she only blows up when she enters play.
Either way.
But like, that to me makes more sense in this deck than a Sinkhole. Like, I get it, there's a big difference between a 9 casting cost angel creature
mm-hmm.
to combo off even more with your Talia, but to me it just makes sense to run something like that. I also, did I see the booties? Did I see Scooty booties in here?
Scooty booties.
The boots that give haste and...
Yeah, you
and,
did.
I thought so. Now I can't think of their name, the actual
they
name.
They got Lightning Greaves.
Lightning Greaves, that's the... Those are what I'm calling Scooty Booties.
Oh, okay. I was like...
Get moving. Get Scooty, Scooty Booty.
All right, anyways.
I don't know. I like it. I think there's options in here. I'm just not sure
yeah. well,
where certain things should go.
I mean, in my opinion, if you do not get the lands in this deck... then it just falls apart because it is heavily relying on being out there first and hitting hard, like, just immediately. So if
well, that's where it's got 36 lands in a commander deck. That's a really high percentage for a commander, I think.
Right, but if you don't get the ones that you need, it's still just going to shut you down and... You know, with this deck, you need them out as soon as possible. Otherwise, you're done. I've seen...
Yeah, I feel like there's probably enough mana fixing in this deck to make it go.
Yeah, but I've seen Kalia decks just sit there. They have nothing to do. They're just like, well, killed my Kalia 3 times now. I guess I just gotta wait until I can cast something that costs 8 mana, because... I don't have any of my 5 drops in my hand.
See, like, that's a question. Like, why is there no dark ritual or red ritual or those kind of things to help power through. Again, because you have a commander that's so easy to kill. Like, putting in something along those lines that, even if they're just a temporary boost to get there, there are no storage lands in this list. Right?
Well, the storage lands are too slow for this list.
Sure, in some situations, but I think, especially, okay, say you drop this chick on turn three.
Okay.
And she.
And you have the ability to give her haste.
And you have the ability to give her haste. Or not, even. I don't care. Let's say you have to wait till turn four to get her going. Okay? But people deal with her. Like, she's such a powerful, scary commander that they. Dealing with her each time she comes out is a thing. Right? If you can't give her haste, then. It's gonna be a problem going all the way around the table until you can play her.
Yeah.
So because she is such a strong build around me kind of commander, and they deal with her two or three times. And like you said, you're sitting there waiting, hoping that you get enough mana to play it again. Where something like a storage land on turn four that you can tap for a colorless mana, or you could start charging up, could be the difference of being able to play it again. Something that gives you a little extra leeway, like black and white are both really good reanimator type effects. And it's not like you don't have a bunch of really sweet, reanimation tech type targets.
Right.
Right? Maybe instead of having all this mana denial, you run a heavy sub theme of reanimation.
Right, especially with that one flashback one.
Cryptic or burial. Something burial. Cryptic burial? No. Holy burial?
Yeah, either way. You know what I'm talking about.
Hollowed Moonlight? No, that's not right.
That's the two drop. No, okay. So it's the one where it costs five. If you
I know what you're talking about. Now I'm going to be really annoyed. Oh. Something burial.
Unburial,
that's
rights.
Fine. Unburial rights, thank you. Yes, like, I definitely see it, right? Like, with a few changes here, a few changes there, I definitely think it's something that can go and be really sweet. And then certain things like Tideholder Scholar and the Duress and the Thoughtseize, they make a little bit more sense, in my mind anyway. And then, of course, you make room for, like, a Lightning Bolt, like God intended. There's not a Lightning Bolt in this deck. Maybe Lightning Bolt's not the card that you... Is there? I just don't see it.
Go to the spells.
It's not in alphabetical order, so maybe I'm...
The fifth spell.
Okay. Well, I take it back. I'll cut that out. Edit that out. No, I'm not going to edit that out. But, well, good. Now I feel bad. I'm like, I can't even find a removal spell. It costs less than this, except for freaking Swords to Plowshares.
And Path to Exile.
Alright, well, I feel much better now, but I still feel the same. I feel like you have all these sweet reanimation effects, but not enough, or targets, but no reanimation spells. I just don't think there's enough enough land destruction to make it worth it. Like, if you're not developing your board and blowing up their land, then it's not good enough.
Right.
I'm going to just click over here on another Kalia build and just kind of see what's here. So this guy's playing 30 creatures, and his spells are some tutory effects, some attack a couple more times, Crucible of Worlds. Did this other deck have a Crucible of Worlds in it?
No.
Nay. Okay, so no Crucible of Worlds kind of combo.
Ooh, I found one with a burial rites.
Did you?
Yep. Let's see. Burial rites, living death.
See, that sounds so much better to me.
And instead of land hate, it's just board wipes.
See, that sounds so good. Let's put a copy of that in the show notes, the link to that one, and I'll post that as a follow-up, because I just feel like that's what this kind of deck needs. And I'm not a commander player. You are a commander player. Do you disagree with me? Is this... Which of these two decks would you rather play?
Well, I'd rather play this one that I'm looking at now.
The second one with the reanimation?
Yeah, with the reanimation and the board wipes. And I'd rather do that because of the angel bait, or the, I guess the angel bait, but also the creature base is just stronger.
Yeah.
Because instead of...
What's the price difference? So let's take that into account, too.
Oh, it's about $200 more.
Oh, that's not too bad, really.
Yeah, like, let's see, the things that I would keep from the first deck that we looked at, I would keep Bob.
Mm-hmm. I like Bob.
I'd keep the Grand
Even though
Abolisher.
It does hurt really bad in this deck.
Yeah, it does.
If it can flip you some bad things.
I'd keep the Grand Abolisher. Let's see.
I don't think we need to get too specific on individual cards, but, like, what of the creature base would you cut? Like, is there a couple of cards in here that you would just cut because they don't make any sense to you?
With the first one?
Yeah, like Tide Hollow Scholar.
Okay, so
Scuttler, for sure.
The first one, I would cut the Scholar. I'd probably leave that in. I'd have to look at all these things really quick. I'd take out Blinding Angel. Because granted, it does make them skip their next combat. But when you're doing an aggro deck, it doesn't matter. You'd rather have them swing and then have some defense, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like this Hellkite Tyrant. Like, there's a lot of things I like about it. I just 16 creatures in what is essentially a combo-y type deck seems
based
weird.
Off of creatures.
Based off of creatures, exactly. Whereas when we look at this other version that we'll have linked up, you know. Fulminator Mage. Now, to me, that's a guy that makes sense if you want to have a little bit of land destruction going
especially
on.
Especially with Sun... With the Sun Titan.
A little bit of... Yeah, like Sun Titan. Now, see, I get it, because this guy... Sun Titan doesn't combo with Kalia.
Right.
Right?
But neither does Ashen Rider, but they're still really good.
Right, and I don't know if I would run Ashen Rider over Angel... That's what it's called, Angel Despair. I might just probably run one and not both. What I do really love is the Resolute Archangel in this list.
Mm-hmm.
That is very good. That would be something... Is it over here? I don't see it. I would run that for sure in this list.
Right.
And then... I could see not running a Mind Twist, because Mind Twist is... Oh, it's not expensive.
Wow.
That's fine. I'm keeping Mind Twist in for that price. I mean,
$2?
$2. I just like this one better. Like, you could easily cut Liliana if you didn't have it, even though Liliana is clearly one of the best planeswalkers
ever
in this list. This deck's running 39 lands, which feels fine to me.
Yeah, like, the lands would be more important, because, I mean, they're obviously going to have all the fetches, but then...
Again, you're talking about being closer to 40% of a mana base, which isn't common in Commander, but you have the ability to not only cheat your guys into play with your Commander, you have the ability to put some other stuff in. The Stoneford Mystic Batterskull combo is nice to have it in there. Also being able to, like, tutor up your sword.
Yeah.
Of Light and Shadow seems good. I don't know. I just feel like this one's probably a little bit tighter of a deck.
It's definitely more synergistic.
Yeah, without playing it, this would be what I would focus on. And I could see making some cuts here or there for price without a big deal.
Right, because there's just something there.
And I'm sure you can get Batterskulls for less than $22. I know there's at least one of the commander decks that came in. So at our local shop there, I think $25 for that commander deck. If it's in stock, wham, bam, you're good.
And I was just actually looking through this, and Sun Titan in this list is amazing.
Yeah, it seems really good in this particular list.
Like, this list specifically because of... Well, of course, all the mana rocks, but then...
Or you have things
animate
like...
Dead.
Animate Dead, Dance with the Dead. Does it also hit Necromancy? It does, right? Yeah, Necromancy.
Is it an alphabetical order?
No, it's not an alphabetical order.
Hit the bottom part.
I don't know. I said I like this list a lot. If I was going to play the two, I would look more at this one than the other one. I did get sent a primer, and I started reading through the primer, and it seemed like the primer was a couple of years old.
Yeah.
The one that he sent me. And I will link that as well in the show notes, and I'm going to make that note right now so I don't forget. And maybe there's some hidden logic in there that I'm just missing, but I don't know. I feel like this strategy may have been outdated slightly. And this says form 1v1 traditional is what it's the primers for, which is clearly not what the is currently really legal in a dual commander.
Right.
All right. Well, I've got a couple of things I want to get to, so let's do the game. Which game are we playing this week? And I told you it was your turn to do the awesome sauce.
Yeah, and we're going to do the text.
Okay, the flavor text
flavor
game?
Text.
All right, what's the card that we're going to flavor text?
All right, the card is... It's being randomly selected right now.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, it's going to be so much more fun this way.
Oh, that means I'm going to have to... You're going to have to send me a link to...
I know, and I'm trying to find one that has the flavor text. Cause so far I'm getting lands and things with too much words.
Not even a card.
It was like one of the planes chase things or whatever.
It's still a card.
Well, no, but it... No. All right, so I'm,
Uh-oh. Here's a picture you're going to like, Travis.
I put the new flavor text down.
Okay. Let me link this picture for you real quick.
Okay.
And then I will throw it in the show notes as well. But that's what Twitter is good for.
Twitter is also really good for this one that I found. Yeah.
I'm going to save that for people to check out the show notes in particular. You can check that out, of course, at samusgrobo.com. But it'll also be printed or be in the MTG Goldfish. Or that's not right. MTG Goldfish isn't a sponsor of the show or anything yet. Hopefully someday soon. No, MTG Cast, you'll be able to look at this up. All right, so you have chosen randomly Noblest of War.
Yes.
Which for those of you who don't know, it's like a little blue person with wings. I'm going to assume it's probably some sort of angel or spirit or something. In fact, its type is spirit avatar. Riding a chariot of fire, being pulled by two goats that are red hot shooting red flames. Okay. And the flavor text is, a great siege is a banquet to him, a long and terrible battle, the most exquisite delicacy. That makes no sense when you look at this picture. So, this is what I think it should be.
Hunger Games.
Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
Okay.
And I'm going to steal this a variation of this quote from a good friend of mine, Tobrell, that we play D&D with every Sunday. If you put a mask on it, it's like a whole new goat. Bah! Come on now. If you put a mask on it, it's like a whole new goat. Bah! It makes as much sense as this.
It really does.
What's yours? Let me hear your flavor text.
I don't have a flavor text. I just picked this randomly.
I just made it up.
Just looking at the picture, it just reminds me of the Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games?
Yeah, when she's like, when they're riding in on that chariot of fire and everything. And...
I see, the girl on fire.
Yeah. That's...
But she's blue.
She's
super cold.
Yeah, because, you know, she didn't play Mystique or anything, so whatever, that doesn't tie in.
Okay, I see it. So what's something that she says in the Hunger Games? Give me a Katniss quote. Like anything.
Oh, hold on. Let me you know, Google some. Well, I mean, you can't quote.
I don't know if that came across.
Yeah, quoting as whistling sounds. That's the quote.
That's the quote. There we go, I got it. No, that's not it. Come on, Travis. Give us a quote. Give us a quote so we can fix
it. I'm trying. None of these quotes are good.
Horrible. Come on, let's get one so we can change it to making fun of goats. That's what this card is to me. These are like spicy buffalo goat wings. That also makes as much sense. Hungry? How about some spicy goat delivery? Goat wings! Extra spicy.
Goat wings, they make as much sense as buffalo wings.
Except even hotter, because we breathe fire.
Because we're goats.
Alright, we'll screw this card. If you come up with some flavor text, we'll add it in. I want to take a quick second and talk about something serious. A good friend of ours in the show, Dan Gent, has fallen ill, and we have done some fundraisers in the past at our local game store. We've done like a for charity tournaments. We've done raffle sales and stuff like that to help them cover their medical bills. I don't want to go too deep into the story, but he's a longtime Magic player. He's been friends with us for, what, it's like 10 years probably, Travis?
If not more.
If not more. When I definitely felt like we were kids and he was an old guy, you know, playing Magic with us. It feels like he's been around forever. I said this on the stream today. His son is my son's best friend. They do stuff all the time. Recently, a little more than a year ago, they moved to Kansas City, where he took a promotion. And almost, I don't want to say immediately, but in about 6 months of working there and living there, he fell really, really ill to the point where they put him on short-term disability to try to recover from his medical issues. And we thought he was on the recovery path. He was getting stronger. He was getting better. And I really thought he was past it. And he had more time that he could have taken off, but he was feeling well enough that he's one of those people who wants to work, right? It's not like me who would rather sit around and talk on a podcast or stream and call it a job. He does like to work. He feels like it gives his life a lot of purpose. And he went back to work the Monday after Christmas and then the next day. And then he had to take off because he immediately relapsed very hard. And he went back to work yesterday and he tried again today. And his boss and his regional supervisor brought him back home today because he was too ill to drive himself back home, I guess. I guess his wife's been taking him to and from work. And they brought him home so she wouldn't have to do it. And they're trying to do some stuff where he can get some vacation days to get him back on the long-term disability, because that's just going to be the next step to try to get him on the long-term disability while he tries to recover from this tragedy. So I'm telling you all this to give you a little bit of guilt trip and a little bit of information to let you know how important he is to us. Some of our emails have come from him. Some of the comments have come from him on the early shows. He's a big supporter of our show in particular, and we thank him for that. And I'm going to ask you to kick him a couple of bucks. I haven't asked for any of that yet. Hopefully in this year, we will reach a point where we can set up like a Kickstarter, or not a Kickstarter, that we'll be able to start selling some t-shirts, where we'll be able to do some things like a Patreon. Hopefully we'll grow to that size soon, in which case I will probably put my hand out and beg a little bit. But for right now, I really am on my hands and knees, not asking for myself. I'm asking for our friend and his family who could use the support. So there's a link to his, I think it's his GoFundMe account. And it kind of talks about his story a little bit and what's going on. And you can read through there and judge for yourself. Kick him a couple of bucks or don't. Whatever works for you. But I know that it would mean a lot to him and his family, and it would also mean a lot to me to help this gentleman out. Do you have anything you want to add on that, Travis?
I think you pretty much covered everything.
Okay. Did you come up with some new text for Noblest of War?
Well, I mean, it makes just about as much sense as everything else, but at least it's entertaining to me.
Okay, let's hear it.
It must be a fragile system if it can be brought down by just a few berries.
What? Okay, so that's the Katniss quote.
Yep.
So let's change it to, it must be a fragile system if it can be brought down by two flaming goats.
That works.
Geez. Jeez. All right, guys, with that, please hook us or give us a follow on Twitter. I'm Samus Grobo, all one word, SimusGrobo. He is TurtlePower319. Please pop over to twitch.tv/SamusGrobo for me playing Magic, Hearthstone, Dungeons & Dragons Online, Dungeons & Dragons Pen and Paper, Heroes of the Storm, occasionally League of Legends with Travis, although it hasn't happened except that one time. But I'm starting to get the MOBA concept down, playing all these Heroes of the Storm games. So you can check that stuff out. You can send us an email at the2trolls@brew@gmail.com. Of course, you can check all that stuff out and more, all the links and everything, at samusgarobo.com, which is where all the back pile of shows are. One last thing I want to add out there, again, a little bit down, well, I'm already down here on my hands and knees begging. If you could, pop over to the iTunes or wherever it is that you go to download and listen to this. Leave us a comment. Leave us some feedback. Give us a positive review if you enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy this review, please don't go and leave us a negative review. Because they knew that we were going to make an inappropriate goat comment.
Oh, well, that makes
sense. Meh. Alright. Yeah, they are. Goats and sheep actually sound a lot alike. Like, they really do.
Okay. Take your word for it.
I grew up in a farm.
I grew up
in Ireland. In Ireland. With big boots. You know why the goat farmers all live near hills, right?
So that way it's easier for... the goats push back harder. When they're
That's right,
cliff.
There you go. Man, like a whole new goat. Alright guys, with that, I think we're going to wrap up. Travis, do you have any famous last words?
Oh, what did... Save
I'm gonna stab you right in the eye.
Oh, that's it. What are you gonna do? Stab me? You got stabbed multiple times. Troll on.
Troll on.